Welcome to NTD News. Here are today's top stories. Trump campaigns in North Carolina, says a vote for Democrats is a vote for radical socialism. Find out what else he said at the rally. A new U.S. ambassador to the United Nations to be sworn in. Kelly Craft replaces Nikki Haley. UN General Assembly meeting set to start next week. Hong Kong activist Joshua Wong compares Hong Kong to Cold War Berlin, meets with German foreign minister. Criticism of Chinese regime grows among countries. A group of meditators bring peaceful ambiance to Times Square. Find out why they were out at New York City's greatest attraction later.
Bishop is running against Democrat Dan McCready for a House seat. Trump proclaimed that.
U.S. President Donald Trump held a rally in Fayetteville, North Carolina on Monday night to campaign on behalf of Republican Dan Bishop in a closely watched special election that takes place on Tuesday.
Bishop is running against Democrat Dan McCready for a House seat. Trump proclaimed that voters have little choice but to vote Republican on Tuesday in North Carolina and in 2020.
A vote for any Democrat in 2020 and a vote for any Democrat tomorrow in North Carolina is a vote for the rise of radical socialism and the destruction of the American dream.
Trump also emphasized immigration issues. He said McCready supports sanctuary cities, which limit cooperation with U.S. immigration officials. He singled out California as a home to a huge number of these hard-to-remove sanctuary cities.
A lot of illegal voting going on out there, by the way. A lot of illegal voting.
Trump also gave an update on his landmark campaign promise, the southern border wall, and how vital it is to stopping the flow of human trafficking.
And we're putting up miles and miles, and we intend by next year, at the end of the year, to have anywhere between 400 and 500 miles of wall built. And this is serious wall. This is the real deal.
Some say Tuesday's 9th District race is a potential indicator of what might come nationwide in November 2020.
The United States' new ambassador to the United Nations is set to be sworn in today, just in time for the start of the United Nations General Assembly meeting next Tuesday.
Kelly Craft was the U.S. ambassador to Canada for 2 years before being nominated to be ambassador to the UN. As a private citizen, Craft was a prominent GOP donor and philanthropist who founded a marketing and business advisory firm. She was confirmed by the Senate at the end of July and on Monday was approved as American representative for the General Assembly meeting. The meeting will start in New York next Tuesday and will be attended by world leaders, including President Trump.
I wouldn't be surprised if the issue of Iran, for example, might be addressed in New York.
President Trump has criticized the UN, saying it's just a club for people to get together, talk, and have a good time. But the U.S. has also used it successfully to negotiate tricky multilateral issues.
They used it in a variety of ways, including for, Iran-related issues, North Korea-related issues, and things like that.
The UN ambassador position has been vacant since the resignation of Nikki Haley at the end of last year. Craft is set to be sworn in at 5:30 on Tuesday in a closed Oval Office ceremony. Reporting by Kitty Wong, NTD News.
During a ceremony at the White House yesterday, President Trump presented the Medal of Valor to six police officers who responded to the mass shooting in Dayton, Ohio.
The Medal of Valor is the highest national honor given to U.S. public safety officers. It's typically awarded only once a year, but Attorney General William Barr said he made an exception for the Dayton officers.
On Saturday, August 3rd, at a Walmart in El Paso, Texas, the soulless and bigoted monster killed 22 innocent people and wounded 27 others. Happened very quickly.
He described the attack as one motivated by racism and hatred.
The next day in Dayton, Ohio, a vile and wicked murderer stole 9 lives and injured 34 others. Our nation is
Trump also gave certificates of commendation to 5 civilians involved in the El Paso shooting.
In the darkest moments of danger and despair, God calls the bravest to action. These 11 individuals answered the call.
With mass shootings on the rise, there are renewed calls in the U.S. for tighter security measures surrounding gun ownership. Trump has expressed a willingness to work with lawmakers on gun control legislation.
It's an honor to serve under a president.
A Russian spokesman confirmed the presence of what American media say was a spy in the Russian government, but says the reports give a false picture.
CNN first reported that a CIA agent who worked in the Kremlin had access to Russian President Vladimir Putin. He was reportedly taken out of Russia by the U.S. in a previously undisclosed operation in 2017 over fears for his safety. A spokesman for the Kremlin acknowledged that such a person worked for the government, but denied that he had access to Putin. All the discourse by the U.S. media, who brought out somebody, who saved somebody, belongs to the pulp fiction genre. A Russian paper identified the man as Oleg Smolenkov. The Kremlin spokesman didn't say if he was a CIA spy. Smolenkov really used to work for the presidential administration, but a few years ago he was dismissed after an internal order. His job did not belong to high authority positions, so-called presidentially appointed positions. CNN and certain other media reported that Smolenkov was connected to Russian meddling in the 2016 U.S. elections. But U.S. government sources did not say this was the case in their responses to the report.
The head of Customs and Border Protection is crediting the Trump administration's policies with reducing migration at the southwest border. Just released numbers show a 22% decrease in arrests at the border between July and August.
The president has made it very clear that he's going to use every tool available to him and this administration to address this unprecedented crisis at the southern border.
64,000 people were arrested for crossing the border last month, down from 82,000 the month before. It's also a 56% decrease from a high of 140,000 in May. Mark Morgan on Monday credited the numbers to several actions the Trump administration has taken as it waits on Congress to pass comprehensive immigration reform. Among those, the Remain in Mexico policy, which allows the U.S. to send asylum seekers to Mexico while their asylum claims are processed.
It discourages the abuse and exploitation of U.S. laws and non-meritorious or false asylum claims.
This, he says, is because it takes away the incentive for people to travel to the U.S. in the first place. Asylum seekers are often released into the U.S., don't finish the asylum process, and don't leave the country.
As of September 1st of this year, CBP has returned more than 42,000 individuals to Mexico under the MPP.
Mexico has also sent troops to its border to stop migrants traveling to the U.S. This comes after Trump threatened to shut down the U.S.-Mexico border if Mexico didn't do more or tariff Mexican-made cars at 25%. Morgan said that it's actions like this and not seasonal fluctuation that made the numbers go down.
This president and this administration is doing it has nothing to do with seasonal trends.
He said that while the administration is appreciative of all that Mexico is doing, it needs to do more. He said Vice President Mike Pence will be talking to Mexican leaders later this week about what more they can do. Holly Killam, NTD News.
As the 74th session of the UN's General Assembly approaches next week, Taiwanese and U.S. representatives celebrated 40 years of partnership with the Taiwan Relations Act. And Taiwan's ambassador to the U.S. saying Taiwan cannot be ignored in the international community.
Ready, set, go!
Commemorating the 40th anniversary of the Taiwan Relations Act, or TRA, Taiwan Run Fest started on the banks of the Anacostia River in Washington on Saturday morning. Taiwanese people and other Washington locals participated. The Taiwan tourism mascot O Bear also came to support.
But now 2019, 4 decades afterwards, such a renewed milestone of this robust relationship.
The TRA is an operative vision and an enduring framework for our relationship.
The government of Taiwan lost control of China to the communist regime in 1949 and fled to Taiwan. In 1971, the UN transferred its membership to communist China, which has since been blocking Taiwan from fully participating in international affairs. On September 17th, the 74th UN General Assembly will open in New York, and general debate will be held from the 24th to the 30th. The Ministry of Foreign Affairs of the Republic of China, Taiwan, and civil groups have started a new round of campaigning to bid for Taiwan to rejoin the UN.
We call on the international community that the Republic of China-Taiwan cannot be ignored. The Republic of China-Taiwan is definitely a very responsive international citizen.
Ambassador Gao said the U.S.-Taiwan relationship continues to develop positively this year and that this must continue. Reporting by Kitty Wong, NTD News.
Credit rating agency Fitch Ratings has downgraded the Chinese city of Hong Kong for the first time since 1995. This, it says, is due to Beijing wielding greater influence in the city and eroding the one country, two systems framework that gave Hong Kong an amount of autonomy. The rating was lowered from AA+ to AA with a negative outlook. Fitch said in a statement that increased ties with China's mainland will present greater institutional and regulatory challenges over time. It said it expects the one country, two systems framework to remain intact, but that public discontent is likely to persist despite recent concessions to certain demands by protesters. Hong Kong activist Joshua Wong today calling for the German government to take a more active role in supporting the city's democratization.
Wong said after a meeting with a Christian Democrat spokesman for human rights.
Especially under the trade war chaos, Hong Kong, China and Hong Kong has much more intention to make friends with Germany. And now is the time, I hope the Chancellor can take a more active role to support Hong Kong's democratization.
Wong arrived in Berlin late on Monday evening after being held for about 24 hours at the Hong Kong airport the day before. Comparing the struggle of Hong Kong's pro-democracy protesters to the role of Berlin during the Cold War, he told audience to stand together against the Chinese regime.
We are now standing between the free world and the dictatorship of China. If we are in the new Cold War, Hong Kong is the new Berlin. Hong Kong is now in the battlefield for two very different opposing ideology. Freedom, democracy, and human rights versus dictatorship, regardless of fundamental rights.
Hong Kong leader Carrie Lam announced concessions this week to try to end the protests, including formally scrapping the bill. But Wong said protesters would not be lulled into complacency. He later met German Foreign Minister Heiko Maas at an event hosted by the German newspaper Bild. China expressed anger after Maas met Wong, saying that no foreign country had a right to interfere in China's internal affairs. Meanwhile, nearly 130 British lawmakers signed a letter to the foreign secretary calling for Commonwealth states to give Hong Kongers second citizenship. Separately, 39 MPs have backed an early day motion which makes the same call. NTD News.
Joshua Wong and fellow democracy activist Denise Ho will testify before U.S. lawmakers next Tuesday when the Congressional Executive Commission on China meets. The activists who were at the center of Hong Kong's umbrella movement in 2014 will testify at the hearing on the future of U.S.-Hong Kong relations. The hearing comes after widespread protests have rocked the semi-autonomous Chinese city for over 3 months. This is in response to the legislature trying to pass a controversial extradition bill. Lawmakers in the U.S. are figuring out how to respond to the Communist Party's attempt to meddle in the city's affairs. The Hong Kong Human Rights and Democracy Act is one such action and is being vetted by several congressional committees. The bipartisan bill would strip away the city's special status as being separate from China when it comes to trade and customs. And up next, after the break, UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson loses bid for early election again. Brexit deadline creeps even closer, government still divided. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, who in July became the country's longest-serving premier, is seeking a record fifth term in the office in the country's upcoming election.
Israelis will vote in a national parliamentary election on September 17th, the second to be held this year. The ballot could win Netanyahu a fifth term or end his decade-long influence on Israeli politics.
I intend to serve you and the country as Prime Minister for many more years. Don't believe all the spin.
Hailed as Mr. Security by a loyal voter base, Netanyahu has struck a chord with a right-shifted electorate. Many like his security-first approach, his fluency in English, and decades of experience, something no other Israeli politician can rival. However, he faces new challengers and possible charges in what he's calling a political witch hunt. Nevertheless, his fans continue to delight in his warm relations with Washington.
I want to thank you, Democrats and Republicans, for your common support for Israel, year after year, decade after decade.
The second round of elections come after he failed to form a coalition government in May. So far, the polls do not predict a clear winner.
There will be no more debates or votes in the UK Parliament for the next 5 weeks, but there was no shortage of drama in the hours leading up to Parliament shutdown. Jane Worrell reports from London.
Debating late into the night, British lawmakers rejected Boris Johnson's second bid for an early election.
We know why they don't want a general election under his leadership. Most of them don't want a general election because they fear that their party will lose.
Parliament will be suspended until October the 14th, so it's unlikely a general election will happen before the October 31st Brexit deadline. Opposition parties didn't back the election motion, fearing a possibility of a no-deal Brexit.
Content.
Last week, lawmakers passed a bill which would force Prime Minister Boris Johnson to extend the Brexit deadline unless the House of Commons comes to an agreement on how to exit the EU. It's now become law. But it's uncertain what will happen next, as Johnson's government has made it clear they don't support the legislation. Johnson was defeated on another vote.
The ayes to the right, 311. The noes to the left, 302.
Which aims to force the government to publish government communications relating to a no-deal contingency plan and the suspension of Parliament. Parliament was closed as some members of Parliament protested the suspension, holding signs reading silenced and shouts of shame on you. A sign of temper from the Speaker of the House of Commons, John Bercow, who announced his resignation earlier that day.
I had already made the point that people had the manners to listen, which they haven't, that the order that I will play my part. This is not, however, a normal prorogation. It is not difficult. It is not.
Johnson says a general election is the only way to unlock the deadlock in the House of Commons, but it's unclear whether an election will help unite a parliament divided over Brexit. Reporting from London, Jane Worrell, NTD News.
And after the break, BMW reveals electric car future, focus on clean energy. Find out more about the new automobile design next. Thousands of people enter the heart of Times Square each day, but this group is still able to find their inner peace in the middle of the chaos. On a busy Sunday, NTD's Xu Wenrong documented this peaceful group meditating in the heart of the city.
Horns and sirens won't stop these people from meditating.
Very relaxing, very calm, very soothing.
It was quite a surprise to see people sitting here meditating in the middle of Times Square with all this activity and horns ringing and all around.
This group of meditators are practicing Falun Gong, also known as Falun Dafa, a traditional Chinese spiritual meditation that was introduced to the public in 1992 based on the principles of truthfulness, compassion, and tolerance. Its five sets of exercises spread rapidly throughout China by word of mouth as people experienced miracles of health and moral improvement. Amir Talai was one of them.
You know, a doctor diagnosed that I had an intracranial cyst in my skull. It was a non-cancerous cyst, but it was the size of a tangerine.
But since he started practicing over 20 years ago, Talai's symptoms have vanished.
Someone like myself has benefited so much from the practice that when I hear about the atrocities and what's happening in China, I want to do more to make sure that, you know, everybody in the world knows that this is going on.
This is one of the reasons why he and others are here, to raise awareness of the persecution that has been going on in China since 1999 and still continues to this day. He hopes that people will want to know why they are being persecuted for it when they see the beauty of the practice, which includes moral and spiritual teachings.
Very peaceful, and probably things that we've all learned during our lives but may have forgotten. So it's a good reminder to return to some of these.
I can see plenty more groups all over the place, you know what I mean? it's spread worldwide in a sense.
Surprisingly, these people are still able to find their inner peace no matter what happens around them. Reporting by Xu and Rong, NTD News.
And in a world premiere at the Frankfurt Auto Show, BMW just released its latest concept car, the new electric i4.
Although it's only a concept, BMW says the concept 4 Series is 85% representative of what the production-ready 4 Series will look like. Particularly striking was the large radiator grille and the BMW typical kidney shape.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are already right at the forefront of electromobility.
BMW CEO Oliver Zipp says the company is committed to addressing climate change issues in the automotive industry, adding that BMW has been committed to the Paris Agreement UN Global Compact since 2001.
This puts us in a very strong strategic position to tackle at the same time the challenges of future mobility and climate change.
The all-new electric BMW i4 is scheduled to go into production in 2021.
After the break, talented hopefuls line up in Silicon Valley for American Idol auditions. Young singers talk about their chances and sing up next. Silicon Valley had a chance to shine when the auditions for American Idol opened in San Jose. NTD's Eiling N heard from potential future stars.
Can't seem to hold you like I want to, 'cause I'm having such a good time.
You were only waiting for this moment to arise.
Auditions to American Idol opened in San Jose last Friday. This is the producer round. Participants must be 15 to 28 years old and a legal U.S. citizen to qualify.
On this side, we have the participants lining up for their audition. And on this side is where the actual audition happens. Those who pass will receive a golden ticket and proceed to the next round.
For some, it is their first time participating.
I was very hesitant at first, but then my mom, she actually convinced me to like come step out of my like box and try.
I'm not like used to singing in front of people, so it's like, this is sort of new to me. If I don't make it, it's okay. It's just really, I'm here for the experience.
They came from near and far, and their reasons for singing come from the heart.
I've been watching American Idol since I was 7.
6 years old, I was singing like in my room and in the shower and stuff.
I, you know, just sung in choirs and wherever I can, and so that's kind of blossomed into what it is now, and I like to continue.
I just have a deep love for music, I always have, and actually my cousin told me that I should audition. He kind of motivated me, so it's kind of like a push to be here as well.
Each taking their own unique approach.
I'll be doing some singing, rapping, mixing a little bit of Korean. I want to try it out because it'll be a great opportunity for me.
It was really fun. Yeah, like I got to go up. I sang a little bit. He had me sing a second song. One of them I sang was like a song that I wrote for my friend when she moved.
There's gonna be a rainy summer in this town that you left.
Winners will not be announced yet, and the auditions will make its way around the country throughout the month. Eileen Ng, NTD News, San Jose, California.
High-flying 19th century tale The Aeronauts had a red carpet screening at Toronto International Film Festival yesterday. NTD's Eric Rusek has the details.
So it begins.
The Aeronauts is a biographical adventure film about pioneering meteorologist James Glacier and daredevil balloon pilot Amelia Wren, who find themselves in an epic fight for survival while attempting to make discoveries in a hot air balloon.
The beautiful thing was that it's about two people pushing at the edges of the possibilities of science and possibilities as to what two humans can do in a balloon.
It's based on a flight that two British aeronauts took in 1862. Their hot air balloon broke the world flight altitude record, reaching about 39,000 feet. The character of real-life aeronaut Henry Coxwell was played with fictional character Amelia Wren, a balloon pilot played by Felicity Jones.
I play a brilliant character called Amelia Wren, beautifully written by Jack Thorne over here. And she is a formidable woman who's going through loss. She's grieving, and it's about falling for another human being and being able to recover by doing things together and not being on your own.
Eddie Redmayne, who previously won an Oscar for Best Actor in The Theory of Everything, described his challenges while shooting the movie.
The challenge for me in this was that it's sort of two people in a confined space for a lot of the film, and how you keep these characters riveting and interesting. But what I loved about it as a film is it's sort of small and intimate, and yet it has this kind of epic scale to it at the same time.
This Amazon Studios produced film is scheduled to debut on Amazon Prime Video on December 20th. Arik Rusik, NTD News, Toronto.
And that's all for now. Join us again this evening for your NTD News. I'm Tiffany Meyer.